Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report. My guest today is none other than Richard Roberts, and we're going to talk today about how he has a stronger anointing than ever before. I want to find out exactly what that means, because he's been anointed as long as I knew him. So you're going to want to stay tuned, and remember that this podcast is the one to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are going to experience that today. I promise you. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to Richard Roberts, who I first saw you in 1970 when I actually came to ORU, kind of scoping it out, thinking of being a student there. I ended up staying at the University of Florida where I was attending, but I saw you in the lunchroom or the cafeteria, I guess you call it. And you were across. You to me, you were a celebrity. You know, I didn't even go up and say hello. You were just a celebrity. Somebody's, oh, that's Richard Roberts. And then, of course, later you emerged in ministry of your own, and you had a TV program. I think your TV program in Tulsa at, I think you called it the Baby Maybe or something. I think it was one of the first times that I was ever on TV. So now all these years later, you're my guest on the podcast. So thank you very much. So welcome to you. And before I go down memory lane too long and talk about all the stuff I remember about you over the years, talk to me about this new anointing. Because like I said earlier, you've always been anointed as far as I was concerned.
Well, thank you, Stephen. It's a joy to be with you today and to all of your viewers and listeners, and thank you for your strong stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ through Charisma Magazine and all of Charisma publications. I praise God for you and for your family and for everyone there at Charisma. Stephen, years ago, way back in those days when you first saw me, it was in the late 60s, my father, Earl Roberts, laid his hands on me and said that the day would come when I would have a double portion of his anointing. And, of course, that's the prayer that Elisha prayed, believing God for a double portion of anointing that would come to him from his mentor, Elijah. And that anointing came upon me, that double portion came on me when my father went home to be with the Lord back in 2009. But it has continued to strengthen. And prophetically, a number of words have been given over me in the past year or two that I have not yet seen anything like the anointing that is coming to me. And now words of knowledge are coming stronger and stronger every time I minister, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Of course, the healing ministry is at the heart of my life. That's the call that God gave me when I was 19 years of age. It was fulfilled when I was 31, and it's been going strong now 40 years later at 71. So I praise God for that anointing.
Well, that's amazing, because your father, as everyone knows, was one of the great Americans of our generation. I mean, not just in the Christian community. I grew up in our family. The two big icons were Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, in that order.
Yes.
I was probably an adult before I realized that Billy Graham was somewhat more famous as an American icon. And I just told someone recently, we were just conversing, having a private conversation. I said, I considered that Oral Roberts is the greatest man that I knew personally. Now, I've met heads of state and some different people, but I mean, you know, he took time with me, Richard. You know, I was a part of International Charismatic Bible Ministries at one time.
Yes.
And I had some one-on-one time with him. And one time he prayed over me and said, never doubt the gift that's within you. And I'll never forget that. I mean, here I am quoting it all these years later. He had a profound impact on me personally. And now here you're following it. Well, you've been doing it for years, as you said, but now a double anointing. I mean, that's absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Stephen. And those words that he spoke over you prophetically have no time limit. And I think that as we in life, as we take those words and we apply them to our lives and strive to have a closer relationship with God, those things just keep getting stronger and stronger in our lives. And recently, a prophetic word was given over me in which the Lord said that he saw me in my 90s preaching and praying for the sick and having great miracles.
Well, that's possible. Your dad lived that long. That's right.
Well, Moses did not start his ministry till he was 80, so that's just right. A youngster.
And I did a podcast with Sid Roth a few days ago, and he just turned 80, and he pointed out that that's when Moses started.
That's right. Well, I called Sid on his birthday. He's a great man of God, and he has a tremendous television program. I've been on it several times.
Well, that's great. Well, speaking of television programs, I think I'm going to tell this story. I've told it enough times behind your back. I might as well tell you too on the podcast. But
okay.
I was on your program. It was live. It seems to me it was late morning. I was not very comfortable being on TV, and I didn't know how to prepare. So in the green room ahead of time, I wanted to chat a little bit to find out, you know, what was going to happen. And I remembered making the comment that I was much more comfortable asking questions than, you know, being questioned myself, which is true. You know, I was a secular journalist. So here we are talking about whatever it was. I don't remember the topic. It was toward the end of the program, and you look at me and you said, "Hey, you're a journalist. You ask questions. If you could ask any question of me, what would it be?" And I'm sitting there thinking, this is live television. I'm not prepared. So I said, you know, here we are at Oral Roberts University. Your father's a famous evangelist, as you and I were just talking about, very well known, an American icon, in my opinion. And I said, what is it like to follow in his footsteps? And, you know, this would have been mid to late 80s, so this was a long time ago. He was still president of ORU at the time. And without missing a beat, you know, I thought, well, that was a good question. And without missing a beat, you said that you were in a hallway there at Oral Roberts University, and behind you was a couple, and they were whispering. And the wife thought that it was Oral Roberts, and the husband thought it was Richard Roberts or something. You know, they could only see you from the back. And you turned around and said, do you want to finish the story? Do you remember it?
Or? I said, yes. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
I thought that was funny. And, of course, everybody laughed. And then the drummer did a boop, and the program was over. And it was totally spontaneous. It was not. So I just think that was kind of a humorous story. It's a true story. And
it is a true story.
I've had occasion to repeat that story when it seemed appropriate.
You know, Stephen, the same thing happened not too long after that. It must have been in the late 80s. I was invited to play one round of golf in the Bob Hope Classic in Palm Springs. And in that event, I was chosen to play with former President Ford and an actor from Hollywood, I can't recall his name, and also the greatest golfer of all time, Arnold Palmer, who everyone who plays golf has dreamed of playing with. Well, I got to play with him. And when they announced us on the first tee, they got to me and they said, and now from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Oral Roberts. And the crowd snickered, you know, and laughed. There were several thousand people there. And I turned around and said to the announcer, when he realized he had made a mistake, I said, it's all right. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the crowd got a laugh. Arnold Palmer got a laugh. And I hit it right down the middle of the fairway and rode in the golf cart with Arnold Palmer for 3 hours, watching him sign more autographs than anyone I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you know, you've had a pretty incredible life yourself, and we could probably talk for hours with stories. You probably have hundreds of stories like that. But let's get back to the anointing, because anointing is a phrase that we use in Christian circles, especially in charismatic circles. A lot of Christians don't really know that. And I've had conversations with some Jewish people and different ones who have maybe visited a service where there was the anointing and asked me what it is. And I have my own definition. I'm curious how you define the anointing.
Stephen, I would say the anointing is that Holy Ghost presence that comes into a person's life and fills them up to the brim so much that when they speak, it's like God speaking. And when they act, it's like God acting. I know when the anointing is on me, and I know when it's not. And I thank God for the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. It destroys the yoke of bondage. And you can feel something. I remember once I was in Ghana in West Africa meeting with the president of the nation, and we were doing a news conference together. I was about to have a crusade in that nation. And at the end of the news conference, I said, "Mr. President, can we pray together?" And he said, "Yes." So we joined hands together and prayed, and I prayed for him and for the nation. And when we finished, he didn't let go of my hand. He just held on to my hand, and it was awkward for a moment. I wondered why the president wouldn't let my hand go. And he said to me, "Dr. Roberts, I have held many hands in my life, some hands hot and some hands cold, but your hand has the right temperature." And I said, "Well, Mr. President, I think I know what you're trying to say. Let me help you. It's the anointing that you're feeling. It's not me. It's the anointing in Jesus' name." He nodded his head. He didn't know how to articulate it, but he knew he felt something different. And when you're in the presence of someone who is anointed, you may not necessarily know exactly what that is, but you know there's something different. There's something special going on.
And of course, it comes from the Holy Spirit. And yes. It's, you know, dead, dry religion doesn't have that. And in Pentecostal circles, we don't always have it. There's always a lot of flesh as well as the Spirit. But there's a yearning for that, that experience with the Holy Spirit, that special touch from God. And God will use different people and flow yes. through them. Isn't that kind of the anointing too?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Stephen.
And how can people... You know, most of the people, you know, obviously are never going to have a ministry. They may never write a book, never be on TV, but they can be touched by the Holy Spirit in their own world. They may never be prophesied over by someone like Oral Roberts. But what advice would you give them? And maybe this would segue into the final thing I wanted to talk to you about, and that is how you are ministering now to underdeveloped nations and pouring yourself into leaders. And undoubtedly, in that setting, you deal with the anointing and how, you know, to believe God for the anointing.
Stephen, I would say on your first question, I would say get closer to God. If you want God closer to you, get closer to Him. And I remember what a former Miss America, Cheryl Pruitt, who's now Cheryl Salem, said when her leg was healed after she'd been in an accident and it was 4 inches shorter than the other leg. She said to the Lord, "Lord, I want everything that you have for me." She opened up her heart, and God not only healed her leg, but baptized her in the Holy Spirit. And she went on to be a tremendous Miss America. And I think that's a good advice for any of us. Get closer to God. Remember, the Lord said, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." The closer you get to Him, the closer the anointing, the closer you get to the anointing. And say to the Lord, "Lord, I want everything and anything that you have for me. I open myself up as a vessel to be used in any way." And then let God choose how He's going to use you and how He's going to anoint you for that purpose.
That's a wonderful answer, and I've so enjoyed talking to you. We need to do it again. But as we wrap this up, I want to give you the final word. And, you know, maybe you could just give me your opinion about what you feel God is doing in America right now.
Yes, I'll do that. But first, may I also mention that several years ago, the Lord spoke to me and told me my crusade days were coming to an end, and that I would spend the rest of my life ministering and teaching underdeveloped nations pastors, especially on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. And I'm doing that now all over the world, putting resources in their hands. And in answer to your question about America, if ever there was a time we needed prayer, it's now. I was watching that march on Washington on Saturday when so many of my friends were a part of praying, and there were thousands of people there. And oh my, when they prayed, you could feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our land. And we've got to hold back the darkness. We've got to be watchmen on the wall to hold back the darkness. God has a good plan for America. The devil has a bad plan for America. But Jeremiah says God's plan for us is good. It is not of evil. And we've got to do what Jesus said. He said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." We've got to bind Satan in the name of Jesus and command him to take his hands off of the United States of America.
Amen.
This nation was forged in the fires of evangelism and the power of God. Even though they've taken it out of our textbooks in our public schools, that doesn't negate it. It's still just as true as it was when Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and Benjamin Franklin walked the earth. Now, some of those men were not Christians. However, they understood one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. They understood that. They understood the basis upon which they could forge a new nation, and in God we trust. And we must have that. We must not lose that. We must not become a socialist nation. We need to bind that in Jesus' name. And then he also said, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So in Jesus' name, we need to loose the power of God on our nation. And we need to pray over our leaders as the Apostle Paul taught us. That's what I feel about America. I don't believe the best days for America are behind us. I believe the best days for America are yet ahead of us.
Boy, that is so powerful. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to close the podcast with prayer.
Sure.
I don't do that real often, but when it seems appropriate, like now, I ask that. And I'll ask my listeners to share this podcast. This is a message that we need to get out far and wide. And I so appreciate you, Richard, being on my podcast. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in again today. And would you now lead us in prayer? And when you're finished, that will just end the podcast.
Father, it's not by might, and it's certainly not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit that I pray this prayer in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. And my dear friends listening now, there is no distance in prayer. God's right here in Tulsa, where I am, and right there in Altamont Springs, where Stephen is. And he's right there where you are. So in the authority of Jesus' name, I send the word of healing to you. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I send the word of God to you for healing, healing in your spirit, to become closer to God than you've ever been, healing in your body. I rebuke every sickness, every disease, every fear, and every doubt. And I say to the devil, you take your hands off God's property. I pray over your finances. And as you sow your seed unto God, for him to open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing in ways you can't even imagine, that to heal you in your relationships, to heal you in your businesses, in your jobs, in your marriages, in your ministries, in every area of your life, from the crown of your head even unto the soles of your feet. And I send the word to you today for that miracle to begin to take place in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.